greatest name that's ever been known, the best friend that anybody ever had. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this song was on my mind this morning in connection, I feel, with the message today. And I'm glad that I found out who Jesus is. I know Him. And you know, of all the correction, the instructions that my mom and dad gave me, I still didn't know Jesus. But one day, on my knees, in humbleness, I cried and He heard my prayer. Greatest thing ever happened to me in all the world, Lord Jesus Christ saved my dying soul. Hallelujah. And you know, I read in the Bible where He said, I know my sheep. They hear my voice. And He said, a stranger they will not follow. He said, they know me and I'm known of them. So, I want to tell you today, as I've said so many times in life, that there is a difference in being saved and not being saved. I'm not talking about character. And I'm not talking about merits. But I'm simply telling you today that unless we're born again, we cannot get into heaven. Now, you might disagree with me, and that's your privilege, but I believe the Word of God. And I know that He tells me in His Word that I must be born again. And I want to talk about that a while today, God being my helper. And I want to use a subject, sin is real and the effects of it. And I want you to think about it seriously. Now, you know, sometimes we are blessed in nature by being a member of a certain family. Because sometimes some families are blessed better with health than others. Some live longer than others. But after all, somewhere down the journey of life, there's a deadline to life in this world. And every man will meet that deadline somewhere in life. Now I want you to think about that today. And it's been said many times, there's lots of things that is all right to live with, I guess, in this life, but it won't do to die with. And I want you to think about that. In the Bible, if you have your Bible, turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I want to read some Scripture here now today. And, you know, I think every one of us, present or absent probably this morning, could say, I've been blessed. I am blessed. I often say that. But, amen, we can be blessed with all that nature has and still be in terrible shape when you think about it. But to experience the grace of God and be born again, you can look toward heaven and say, God has done great things for us whereof we are glad. He also said, what can we render to God for all of His benefits toward us? Now today, I want you to think with me as we read in the Word of God. I'm going to verse 45 and 46, 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to detect here, God being my helper today, what it is to be born in the flesh and the difference in being born in the Spirit. Now the Bible said here as I read to you, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Now, if you go back in the very first book in the Bible, you'll find in there that God spoke one day and He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, when man was created in the beginning and God placed him in the garden, he was in the image and the likeness of God. Are you listening to me? He was not a sinful, fallible, doomed being. But something happened, and I hope today that God will help me, that you'll understand that there is only one remedy for sin. Only one. It doesn't matter today. Now let me clear this in the very beginning. I'm not worried about little infant babies. I want to tell you that. But I must remind you, Mom and Dad, that somewhere in the life of that little infant baby you may be holding today, or maybe a part of your family, that somewhere down the road of life, should God let it live, There will come a day when that child will become a victim of sin. Are you listening to me? Because that nature doesn't save folks. The physical being doesn't save folks, regardless of your status in life. God made him now in His image and in His likeness, and He placed him in the garden. And God gave man the commandment in the beginning, how to live as God. Amen. How to live, amen, the purity of God. And today, God has given you and I the instructions on how that we can be born again and become a new creature in the likeness and portraying the very work of God in our life. But I want you to notice something now. Jesus said in the Word of God, He said now, when the Holy Ghost is come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, my friend, let me tell you something today. When you become a victim of sin and a sinner, when you realize that in your life, then the Holy Ghost is going to reprove you and tell you that you are lost and in sin. Amen? Now, you think this over seriously today. And I want to tell you, friend, if I was lost this morning, I'd be scared. Because life is uncertain and death is sure. And somebody said, I hope you don't make the children nervous. Well, I've said this many times. If your child never gets nervous, it'll never get saved. I'm sorry. Because when a person realizes that they're lost and one heartbeat out of hell, it's enough to make you nervous. Am I telling you? Praise the name of Jesus. So Jesus said, now when the Comforter's come, the Holy Ghost, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. He's simply saying that the Holy Ghost will convict a man of his sins in this life, and he'll realize that he is not a subject for heaven, but a subject for hell. He is not saved, but he's lost, because he is born, amen, in this life in sin. Amen. David said, in sin and iniquity was I conceived in my mother's womb. Now that makes no difference in everybody. Are you listening to me? The good family, the bad family, whoever they are, it makes no difference. I'm sorry. Somebody said, you mean to tell me there's no difference in good folks and bad folks? Well, I want to tell you something, friend. There may be in this life, and there may be in the natural life, but in the eyes of God, the only people who are righteous are the people, thank you, Father, who have experienced the grace of God and been born again. And therefore, the righteousness of God has been portrayed in their heart, which made a difference in their life and made a different creature in them. That's right. That's God's plan. Bless your heart. But you think about it. So now, we go along in life and we measure marriage a lot of time, and I've said that millions of times, I guess. Well, you know, I'm good at so-and-so, and I do good things, and I do this. But the thing about it is, Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Which is telling me today that every one of us, amen, are or have been sinners. Now, I don't stand up in the pulpit as a minister and brag and tell you I'm a sinner. Take it or leave it. It doesn't matter with me. Because there are some righteousness which is not of man, but of God, that lives in the lives of those who have experienced salvation through Jesus Christ. Now this message today may be about as new to you as it is to me, but God gave it to me and I want you to listen to it. Because I want to tell you today, Mama, it doesn't matter how pretty your daughter is. It doesn't matter how handsome your son is. It doesn't matter his status in life. Or she, if they have never been born again, they are a subject for hell. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you the truth. And somebody said, you're going to come down on that so hard. We need to tell our children's children, and everybody that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. In other words, we're lost, dying without God, and doomed for eternity. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, the Bible said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Brings every one of us, what's your name, brings every one of us on the same basis that every one of us is a sinner by nature, if you please. Because, what the Bible say, go a little farther, in John chapter 3 and verse 6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now here we are again with the two men that I read to you about in 1 Corinthians 15, when he said the first man, amen, Adam, was of the earth, earthly. But the second man, amen, is a spirit, if you see. So there we are today. We're born in life and God gives us a privilege. And the Holy Ghost has come and made it possible that man could bow on his knees by the leadership of God and obtain salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by the leadership of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So there it is. He said, now if we say we have no sin, we're good enough. And people often tell me, I'm good as church people. I see this out of church people. I see that out of church people. And I don't know about all the church people. Do you? Huh? Get your name on Mount Olive. Get it on whatever church you want to. It won't get you to heaven. And I'll finish this right here by telling you that there's not a mama or a daddy that can get one of their children through the gate into glory. Now you can instruct them and you can tell them what's right and you can lead them. But if they never have an experience with God and the Holy Ghost, they'll die lost, my friend. I'm sorry. Because they are what they are. They are born of the flesh. My name is Dixon because in the flesh I was born into the Dixon family. I feel Jesus, folks, is so good. Let me tell you something. But one day, a little barefooted boy, hallelujah, scared and dying, one heartbeat out of hell, sentenced forever, I came down the aisle, Brother Jimmy, to Jesus, and I bowed on my knees at an old-fashioned altar, and God took my fear of hell out of my life and gave me the assurance that there's a better place than that, and there's a place that's eternal in happiness, in glory forever, only through Him who is a door into the gate. It's the same way with every man, I'm telling you today. We're lost or saved, children, adults. And we can't deceive nobody but ourselves. It doesn't matter, amen, your neighbor may not know it and you may fool them and may not think nothing about it, but there'll come a day when God, you'll face Him and He knows the very thoughts and the intents of man's heart. No way getting around it. Amen. Somebody said, well, I try to live right. That's good. That's good. But I read in the Bible where He said they're going to come on that day and say, Lord, I visited the sick. I paid my tithes. Lord, I did mighty wonderful works. But He said, I declare unto you, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Now, let me make it clear right here. The only way that you really get acquainted with Jesus is to have an experience with the Holy Ghost. And the question was asked this morning, and I hope we haven't left it. Do you know my Jesus? Somebody said, Brother Dixon, I go to church. You ought to go to church. Whether you're saved or lost, you still ought to go. But I want to tell you, you can go to church every Sunday, sing in the choir, do what you will, but unless you're born again, changed, thank you, Father, for giving me, changed from the physical, from the nature, to the spiritual, you'll die lost and hell will get your dying soul in the end. Anybody believe that? It is the truth. It is the truth. So he said, now we can't say we're better than somebody else because I'm so-and-so's kid or I'm so-and-so's brother or I'm in the family of this. It doesn't make a thing out of us any more than what we already are. I appreciate good people. I appreciate good families. But I'm telling you today, it's more than that. Now, if it were not more than that, then Jesus Christ died in vain at Calvary and the blood was wasted. And it was not, I'll tell you. It was not. And you go to the book of Peter, I might have preached on it last Sunday sometime, I don't know when it was, but I read in there where he said, you are not redeemed. What does the word redeemed mean? It means brought back. Man was in the garden. God put him in there. He was in the likeness and the image of God. So said the Word of God. What is sin? What is sin? Sin is the transgression of God's law. Blessed be the name of God. But man was there, and he had everything. God told him what to do and what not to do. Is God not telling you today what to do? He said in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I've told him a lot of times, Brother Tim, I can't brag about a thing in the world because my name's Dixon. You know, of all the people, and it was a large family, but of all the people in my family that I know today, I don't know of one millionaire in there. Amen? I don't know of one in there that owns a huge amount of property. I don't know finance or estate. I don't know. But I know one thing. Thank God forever that I found something one day that made me important. Somebody said, I always felt like you thought that. My friend, I want to tell you, it's not my righteousness, it's His. My righteousness, the Bible said, is filthy rags in His sight. But the righteousness of God will show forth in a born-again believer's life. Anybody believe that? It sure will. So being a Dixon, being naturally born, didn't make anything out of me worth anything except a bed of clay and a few years that I've lived in life. Thank God for it. But the valuable thing happened when I was a teenage boy. I say again, and I found out by listening to the Word of God, by heeding to the wooing of the Holy Ghost, I bowed on my knees and God took that burden out of my life and gave me something inside that makes me want to live and holler, Hosanna to the King that lives forever, that paid the price that no man could pay. Got me out of the physical place, dying, and gave me a privilege to the Spirit of God, made a difference in my life. If it didn't make it in yours, you're lost. I'm sorry. It don't make any difference. Here or there, unless God visited with you, unless you know Him, you're dying without God today, and how sad it is. And I want to tell you something else while I'm right here. The devil is deceiving multitudes and thousands in this world we're living in right now. Amen. I'll drop you another thought. If you think he's not smart, and I've thought about it a lot since they claim they've found these new scrolls and they're putting out the report they're putting out. My Bible said that Satan would transform himself into an angel of light and deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. I want to tell you today, there are many counterfeits. There are many imitations. But there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Holy Ghost, and we get it or we don't have it. Amen. I love you. I'm trying to stir up your pure mind today and let you realize, amen, we don't coast into heaven. We've got to obtain the goods to get in. And now then somebody said, well, Brother, why is sin in the world like it is? I'll tell you exactly why it's there. It comes because of lust. Because of lust. Our world has been blessed. Amen. She's like a great garden. Flourishing, money running like water down the streams. Anything people want, they get it. And the more we get, the more we want. Amen. We get to lusting after this and lusting after that and wanting this and wanting that, craving after other things in life. And we ignore the thing, amen, that would mean life to us and life forevermore. And I'll tell you something else, folks, and it saddens my heart. Amen. People are so prone today. Now, don't you take me critical. If you do, that's all right with me anyway. But people today are so prone and so concerned about anything in this life pertaining to nature. Amen. Amen. They'll go their limit. They'll run the wheels off of their car. Amen. They get to the T-ball game. Amen. Or this or that in life. Amen. But it doesn't matter if I miss church. It don't make any difference. The school buses are running at midnight at night and you can't get enough folks together in a meeting to have an old-fashioned Holy Ghost kelp meeting. What's the matter with us today? We're lusting after the things that bring prosperity and publicity in our world today and ignoring the thing that pertains to God. Is it not so? We are lusting after the flesh instead of after God. And the children are burying their face today and thinking, and Satan's coming along making them lust after sex and everything else in this world. Huh? It's affecting, don't you kid yourself, it's affecting our world and bringing shame and disgrace in our land today. Because we're living after the flesh. I'm just trying to tell you the truth today. Amen. Sometimes, you know, God burdens me with something and it's so hard. But I want to tell you one thing. I want to make this journey the rest of the way with victory. What about you? And the devil would just as sure deter you and steal your joy in God as he's a being today. And he'll make it look good to you. Sin come because of lust. Amen. Remember, Eve looked at the tree. And she thought, that's what I want. That's what I want. Forgetting what God said about it. Amen. You know what you used to have, see on automobiles portrayed? You used to see tags on the front and on the rear a lot of times. And it would say, the family who prays together stays together. But today, the other events of life have got so important, we'd rather portray that. Huh? I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to tell you what's taking over and what sin is doing for us. We have a lust. Huh? Amen? Little girl or boy come along and sing, Jesus, love me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And somebody said, that's cute, isn't it? Amen? And that's about all you hear. But when the hero stands, the whole crowd rises and mom and dad stands up and sticks their chest out. You see what we're lusting after? What's satisfying us in life? We need a Holy Ghost revival, Paul. We need a burning of God in our life and in our churches over our land today. But lust brings sin. You'll find the book of James where he said, and when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin, therefore, is finished, it brings forth death. Death. Now, let me tell you something. Sin caused the death of every human being. You believe that? And it's not through yet. Sin is going to cause death eternal for all who live after the flesh and die in it in this life. It will. You see, we're forgetting how serious it really is. You know, we've just about took the horrors out of hell. Church folk? Can I say that again? Huh? I remember very well when I used to be cautioned in my family, among my parents, and they'd often say, the boogeyman's going to get you. Huh? Amen. But today we say, you're going to be in time out. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm just bringing something to your mind this morning. I'm showing you where the natural flesh today is devouring and stealing and destroying us as human beings. Sin. What is sin? The effects of it. The effects of it. So it brings lust. And when lust is conceived, we try to hide like Adam and Eve. The world tries to get by, but it's still sin. And sin will find you out and there'll come payday for it. One way out. Bless your heart. You find in Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, man brought sin. He said, for as by one man sin, disobedient, many were made sinners. You know why you die? You know why, amen, the dope's flowing in America today? You know why the alcohol's like it is? You know why people are shooting one another like rabbits? You know why that's happening? Because that in the beginning, Adam disobeyed God and broke His law and brought sin on the human... Woo! Brought sin on the human family! And we'll have it as long as we live! And the only hope is Christ Jesus! You're gambling with your soul today, friend, if you're lost. You've never had an experience with God. Mama loves you, Daddy loves you. But you better know that you're born again. You better know that your sins are forgiven. It's a dangerous thing. Sin brought the curse. Sin brought the curse. It's been said a lot of times, and it's true. You know, a little child can be born in the family, and as it begins to grow, you don't have to teach it how to die. Are you listening to me? You don't have to teach it how to steal. It just comes along. And that's nature. That's the flesh. And he reaches a state that he takes a little bit to start with. And then Satan leads him on until mama's walking the floors at 2 o'clock in the morning and wringing her hands wondering what's happened to the little boy. Met a man the other night, my neighbor, and he said, you know, son, I'm worried. Said, my son didn't come home last night. You say, Brother Dixon, what is this? It is a curse from the Garden of Eden. It is a curse of Adam. And somebody said, well, why does it come to my house? Why does it affect me? Because you are a part of Him. And humanity broke God's law and become a sinner, and therefore, He is of the earth, earthly. He is of the flesh, wicked. And the only thing that redeems Him is an experience with God. You have it or not? You have it or not? But you see, man brought the curse. I see it with my eyes today, naturalized, Brother Darwin. I look out and I see when things happen that's so cruel to the human family. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, that's the curse. That's the curse. And I want to tell you in the name of Jesus that man cannot cure that curse. No. He cannot. Now let me remind you of something else that I've said a lot of times. You see, man was outside without a hope. And there's a lot of people today, and they say they're good as I am, good as you are, and all of that. And I'm not here to argue split hairs. I don't know. But I know one thing. Amen. That nothing in the world can cleanse your soul except faith in the blood that fell at Calvary for the sins of the entire world. And nothing short of that, anything short of that, there is no remedy and it has no effect when it comes to being born again. Man brought the sin. God said to Adam in Genesis 3:17, He said, thou hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. For thy sake and sorrow shalt thou eat of it till thou return, and all the days of thy life. So lust brought an end to life for man in this world. He said, you eat of the tree I told you not to. And He said, now that you have, He said, you'll eat bread, the sweat of your brow, the rest of your day. You'll live a certain time and then you'll die. What is it? It's a curse, because man is of the earth and man is a physical being. And without God, there is no eternal life. There is no eternal life. Are you listening to me today? Notice what I'm saying to you. And I said a while ago, we say, well, who's guilty for this? And you know, it's so easy to look back and say, well, we're going to blame Adam for this. Well, you know, we might could have before salvation. I don't know. I know one thing, man was shut out. Whether you like to take it or don't take it, man was shut out. But I want to tell you something. Thank God forever. God opened the door. And when God opened the door, you can't look back hundreds and thousands of years and blame Adam. You can't. Because you see, it come to a time now that to every soul, God, through the Holy Ghost, offers life everlasting through an experience of grace with God. Amen? But I'll tell you now, I said in the beginning, and I believe it as much as I believe anything in the world, I believe Christian people think different. Huh? I do. And you know, sometimes that's why we have such a conflict as we have, even in churches today, is because Christian people think different. And you know, we have people, and I'm not being critical, I'm just bringing out a point, but we have people today that say, well, that's your theory. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Well, I have a reason for having the theory that I have. Amen. You know, this Bible I have this morning is a little bit worn. But I have several of them that's worn and torn. And it's not because of pitching it from coffee table to coffee table. But it's because there's times when something comes into my heart and I really don't want to know what it is. I really want to know about it, and I begin to flip the pages until I come to the satisfaction of the teaching of God's Word. And the Bible, Paul said in his Word, he said, though an angel come down from heaven and preach any other gospel except that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. So today we don't have any excuse.
Little boys and girls grow up, and even here at Mount Olive, and I thank God for it. Not me, not you, but God. But the children grow up in Sunday school classes, amen, not learning so much about the activities and the social things that happened yesterday, but about the Word of God. Thank you, teacher. And as they grow older, the Bible said if you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when they grow old, they will not depart from it. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Go with the flesh and die. I'm not talking about the natural death. Or come to God in the Spirit and live. That's the way it is. So sin was brought by mankind. And I'll remind you again, Sister Christie, as much as you love that little girl and look down at his face, if God permits and time goes on, there will be a day when it will come to a time when you'll look at it. And it'll be a lady, maybe a teenager. And it'll be saved or it'll be lost. I'm not worried about it right now. I'm not a bit in the world. I believe if Jesus comes, it'd just be a sweet shortcut to even for it. But I'm telling you, we're not all babies. But every one of us have lived to the years of accountability. And we have been saved or we are still lost. And somebody said, well, I don't think too much about it. Well, friend, I want to tell you one thing. The devil's deceiving you because there's no greater time than right now for you to think seriously about it. Think seriously about it. What sin does, the effects that it has. Notice something else about it. Sin in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, I believe you find it about chapter 14, 34 or something like that. Now he said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But it comes again. People are nature to say, well, I try to do right. I pay my just and honest debts and I do this and I do that. Well, it's not in you. I'm sorry. The ability is not in what you do. It's not in what you think. But this is a supernatural power that the world is trying to deny today and go on the merits of man and the knowledge of man. And if we had no Jesus, there'd be no way for one to get into heaven. Not one. But you see, when the curse came and man was cast out, God so loved the world so much that He gave Jesus Christ, His Son, that we might have a right to have life and have it everlasting. It's up to us. So He said to the woman, when she sinned in the garden, your sorrow will be multiplied. Now let me remind you of something, Mama, and you may disagree with me, but this statement didn't stop in the Garden of Eden. It didn't stop at Eve. But it's come down through the years of time, ever since that time. And mothers, I know my wife. And God blessed us with some children who were respectable and obeyed us. But I can remember when if it got to getting a little bit late in the night, my wife would get nervous. Any of you mamas like that today? Come on, you ought to be ashamed. God will help you. It's reality. It's a curse. And He said, I'll multiply your sorrow. But when the disappointments and the sorrows of life come our way in life, let us examine ourselves and see if our anchor really holds. See if our faith is anchored in a God that's going to deliver us. He hath delivered, and He'll deliver again. But He said, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. Huh? Now, He didn't say Dixon. He didn't call your name. He said you. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. And I want to tell you something else, my friend. I read in there. Now, this is getting down nitty-gritty right here. I want to hurry if God will help me. But the Bible said, you don't need to rejoice because you won a victory yesterday or today. That's wonderful, isn't it? But He said, you rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Can I ask this congregation today, how can you get your name in heaven?
Speak it out, I don't care. How can you get your name into heaven? Yes! Not of corruptible things. Woo! Such as silver and gold. But by the precious blood of the Lamb. Rejoice! Are you saved? Anybody in the house? Hallelujah! Not because you won a battle, but because your name's on heaven's roll. Hallelujah! I've been changed from the creature that I one time was. I've been born again. Hallelujah! And I rejoice in Jesus. Glory to God forever. Sin, oh, how terrible it is, but yet sometimes we pay such a little attention to it. Now, I told you, if you're not born again, you're in nature, you're in the flesh, and you're dying. Sin causes fornication. And not only does sin cause fornication, but sin covers it up. And the Bible said if we cover our sins, we're not wise. Huh? I believe it's saying right here, if you brag because you're good and you're not born again, you're a fool. But sin comes along and it tells a preacher he can steal the other man's wife just to get it, tear his home up. Sin tells a little daughter she don't like to live at home. So she wants her apartment and she moves into it. Yes, I'm dabbling. Go ahead. Do what you want to with me. I'm about ready to go to heaven anyhow. But mama doesn't know what's going on at midnight. You see, Satan and sin justifies fornication. And I had a man talking to me, a good friend of mine, a preacher, told me about a lady living shacked up, so anointed of God, able to even use other tongues, and I'm not being critical, and all of these things. But my neighbor, the first thing that comes in your life as a Christian is the fact that nature is crucified, the flesh and the Holy Ghost takes its abode in your life, which brings the righteousness of God in your life. It's there first. I don't care what kind of act you have. That righteousness of God has to come in before the flesh can be conquered. Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. He also said, the things that I would do, I do not. Old things pass away. Yeah, old things are new. Blessed be the name of God. And you know something else it does? It causes jealousy. Now I could preach all evening, I'm not going to, but it causes jealousy. Won't let you love me, won't let me love you because of jealousy. And somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know if jealousy is bad or not. Well, it caused the first murder. Huh? Yeah, I got you. Caused the first murder. Cain was jealousy of Abel. It separated a lot of home, tore them all to pieces because mama got jealous of daddy and daddy got jealous of mama. Amen? The home will never be what it is and needs to be anyway until Jesus has control of it. I don't care what you claim. Because that's moving out of the flesh into the Spirit. They do mind the Spirit, do mind the things of life. Praise His name. I don't know what you think about this message. Sin and its effects. I remember my early ministry, and I may have told this before. I remember a family that got mad at me. Because I preach the same way I preach now, Brother Tim. Haven't changed through the years. I preach the same thing, have ever since I started. And this family was involved in some great things in life. Their little daughter sometimes looked like a reproach the way she dressed. And I mentioned some things in the pulpit and they got mad at me. And today, this lady's lived. I don't know how many times she's been married. She's had all kinds of problems in life. Somebody said, that didn't cause it. Sin did. Take it or leave it. Sin did. Righteousness didn't. It'll cause little children to come home crying with their head down when Satan has took advantage of the little daughter's body
And in a little while, there's an illegitimate child born in the home. Anybody love me? Thank you. Anybody love me? I'm telling you, friend, the only hope for you and I is Jesus. You can't get out of sin yourself. You can't be born again, children. You turn the leaves over and plant a new life, but you've got to come by the cross. Because the flesh will eat you up. The flesh. I'm not coming down on nobody, and I'm not shaming nobody. I'm just trying to tell you what's really living in our country. Glory to God. So I'm going to finish, if God will let me right now, just in a brief statement or two. Sin will bring natural death. I was talking to a man the other day. He told me his granddaddy lived to be 100 years old. And he said, you know, just before my dad died, he said there was a dog that attacked him and almost ate him up. Just a day or two before his 100th birthday. He said he called his children around and he said, children, I'm going to die on my 100th birthday. Somebody said, boy, 100 years is a long time. Well, it's not as long as you think. But what I'm saying right here is, because we are beings of the flesh, spells out one thing, that we're going to die naturally. Speaking. Somewhere near or far, you'll die. Somewhere near or far, you'll die. And it's all because of sin. Now, if there was no remedy for it today, wouldn't it be a terrible world? If there was no remedy for it today, wouldn't it be awful to live? But then there's something else. I told you in the beginning, and I know I've got to close. I believe I could preach another hour this morning, but you know, there's something else. You can do well in life, have a nice home, nice automobile, nice bank account, nice family, whatever you name it. But all of a sudden, nature lays you down, and the children walk by and the family walk by. You know what this is to me? It's a reminder that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it will come to an halt. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. To live in sin, to die in sin, boys and girls, listen to me today. To go on your way in life knowing that you're not saved will bring you one day when sin finishes with you and you'll die eternally forever and forever and forever. So that's why he said the first man is of the earth earthly. The first man, Adam. But then there's another, which is the Spirit, which brings life everlasting. There it is. Do you know where you're going today? And you know the sad thing that bothers me? Come on to the piano if you will, please. The thing that really bothers me is the fact that boys and girls have experienced so much, seen so much in life, until I can preach a message like I preached this morning. And boys, if you aren't careful, the devil will tell you to turn it off. It's getting late. It's 12 o'clock. And you don't need to go today. You've got plenty of time. But you know, it's shocking to think. All Satan wants you to do is stay where you're at until you cross the deadline. Amen? Let me tell you something, friend. People say, well, it won't happen to me, Brother Dixon. It might happen to that family over here, or that man. It won't happen to me. Don't you misjudge the devil. And don't you forget that all you have, unless you're born again child of God, is just the flesh that you live in and what you think and how you act and what you do. It's very sad, very, very sad when we live in a world that people have gone after society and the things in this life until they kill one another. Huh? Amen. Daddy goes somewhere and gets him a girlfriend. She's got a little child. He don't like it. He kills it. Yes. Am I telling the truth? What's causing this, Brother Dixon? It's because there's too many unborn people in the world who doesn't know God. Do you know Him? How is it with your life today? Amen. Are you living today? Would you think with me for a moment? If you've not had an experience with Jesus, my friend, you're on the downward road to hell and destruction forever and forever. But all the good part about it is today that you can do something about it this morning. If you'll come to Jesus, He'll cleanse your soul and give you the righteousness of God. Amen. You don't need to walk around and brag about being a sinner. Amen. You need to walk around and say, I'm a possessor of the righteousness of God. There's no joy in man outside of God. David prayed for joy, but it was the joy, thy joy, the joy of God. So how is it in your life right now? I'm not going to apologize for preaching this long this morning. Just did what God told me to. If it's too long for you, then that's up to you. But I wonder right now while we stand together today. And I'm going to ask you one thing. I believe everybody in the house knows what your name is. And I'm talking about your maiden name, your given name. I believe you know. But I want to tell you, as you think of that in your mind, that there is no saving power in that name. Are you listening to me? So it tells you something. Unless you know Jesus, your life will soon end and death will begin forever. Is it worth it? The altar's here, and I feel like God's visited with us this morning. The Holy Ghost has come through you, and I believe He spoke to somebody. Somebody this morning that don't know God. Maybe you're fooling somebody. But let me ask you this. Will it be worth it when you stand before God and He said, you did a good job fooling folk. You did a good job putting on a front. But now it's reality. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Is it well with your soul? While this scene, the altar's here. God loves you and God wants to help you. I wonder if you'd come today. I wonder if you'd come today.
The gulf that separated me,
amen. No way in.
From Christ my Lord.
No way in, son. No way in, daughter.
It was so vast, the crossing I could never hold.
Don't hide behind your pride.
He picked me up.
I could not come to where He was. Thank God,
He came to me.
That wonderful Christian. Life.
In chains of my sin, He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to His side. Where today in His sweet love I now abide. Then He came to me.
Again. I want you to shake hands with somebody right beside of you if you're saved. At least look at them and smile. And if I were you, I'd just say, thank God I'm saved. Anybody? Sing it again. Sing the chorus. Go ahead. Amen. Amen.
He came to me when I was bound in chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope with me.
No hope with me.
He picked me up and drew me gently to His side, where today in His sweet rest
I now abide.
Sing it.
And He came to me.
Come to where He was. He came to me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Darren Sears, will you pray the benediction, please?